Was Samson a perfect man? Did he have a problem with women? Yeah. Let's admit it, he had a problem with women. Did God have a problem with Samson? I remember one time, I'm reading, and if you read the story, it's not just a story, it's a fact. This man's weaknesses were ordained by God. Try it on. This man's weaknesses. Come on, this man, this woman, ordained by God, so that I could come and become an overcomer. That's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your pride. It's going to hurt your attitude. It's going to hurt who you think you are and cause you to see that God has not fallen short. Now you say, what is all this about and why is God talking to us about all these things? Because they're human and we are human. We have life within us from the natural, but we also have life from the spirit. Depends on which part you're going to focus on today. My morning started reasonably early, and it started with two visions. And I'll remind you that John chapter 5, verse 19, and verse 30, Jesus never did anything unless the Father either showed or spoke. And he did both this morning for me. So I'm going to take you on a journey. Back to 1986, February. A miracle had come to life. I had asked my boss for some time off, and I had a real strong press inside my spirit that my father-in-law, who lived with us for 26 years, was to come on vacation with us. And my wife says, when I first released this information to her, she says, Ken, he won't even go 100 miles away from here for a visit. Where do you think you're going to take him 900 miles south? I said, well, if God said it, you'll perform it. So make your reservations at the hotel. So she called, and we had reservations made at the hotel down at PTL, and we went there for several days. And when it was time to leave, I told my father-in-law, who was rooting for him, and he said, yeah, I want to go. And my wife went like, oh, he won't move 100 miles, but he'll go 900, seven, you know, one way. No problem. Her dad was born and brought up in the religious realm, loved the Lord in his own fashion. And that's what God was bringing me to this morning. The impossibility of that man saying yes to go to a place which was foreign land. Totally foreign land. And so off we went. We got there on a Sunday night. Those of you who remember that far back and are old enough to remember what that program was like, it used to have a light program for 2 hours in the morning when it first started, went down to an hour, and then they had another hour in the evening at 7 o'clock every night. It was called Camp Meeting USA. And it was broadcast all over the nations at that time. We came in a little bit late, but my father-in-law was excited, and so obviously we went directly to the camp meeting place, parked the car, didn't unload the car, and we had a snack, and we went in by the side and found a couple of chairs and sat down, the three of us. And we were very excited, my wife and I, because Rev. Carter was teaching. We knew Rev. F. Carter from several years before because the Lord had introduced us to her back in 1978, I believe. She was a marvelous minister of the Lord. She was tall. She was a minister from California. She was a black lady. She had an awesome ability and an anointing from God. I had read one of her books, called No Ground. No Ground to the Enemy. Well, she gave us the lesson that evening. My father-in-law was overwhelmed at the marvelous presence of God because he could feel something different. Monday night we went back, sat in the exact same space, and did the same thing. And she was teaching again. Tuesday night we went back. Now a friend of mine and his wife, who had been born again at our prayer meeting in Three Rivers at St. Anne's Church, had moved to South Carolina and invited my wife and myself and my father-in-law to a turkey dinner. And that happened to be my father-in-law's favorite food. So Terry and Walter had prepared for us this awesome dinner, and we sat down and ate, and in my heart I'm praying, God, you know, we're going to miss the seminar. If it's you, and we could possibly go back. Now, we're actually 15 minutes drive time from the studio at their house. And I said this prayer inside in hopes that God would provide, because I just didn't want to miss that next link. I mean, you know, God uses links, and the chain was building. So we had our dinner, we had a wonderful time, we had our dessert, we chit-chatted, we had some tea or coffee or whatever, and all of a sudden Walter says, gee, you know, he says, would you guys like to go to the camp meeting tonight? Oh man, my insides were jumping up and down. Yes, I said, I'd love to go. We'll be a little bit late, but that's not a problem. So obviously we all jumped into the car and off we went and parked again next to the studio. And we were late, so obviously we didn't go in by the right-hand side. We went in this night by the left-hand side. And when we went in, we had to go up maybe about four steps, because it's like a, you know, theater type of thing. And my father-in-law had a little difficulty walking, but we did it. And my wife and Teresa sat, then my father-in-law, and then Walter and myself. And we were right on the aisle, and we were like, six rows back. So now the worship is all done, and Rev Ev comes out, and she looks around, and she's staring in that direction, and she says, well, I had a word for somebody, but I don't see that person tonight. And maybe I miss God, but if I miss God, God will provide. And, you know, I was supposed to do this last night, but, and then she says, oh! There you are. And it was me. And I knew it. Because my insight were going up miles and miles an hour. Is, come on. Why do you think I know how to stir my spirit? It was stirred to the max. It was on high gear. Okay? And I was jumping inside and she began. And she says, oh, did you know that it was you? And I said, yes. And of course, my buddies and my father-in-law are regular. I mean, this guy's out of his tree. Now, you got to remember, this is coast to coast, north to south, 7 p.m. Sunday night. Any believer that wants to watch can watch. Does God know how to do things that take place? The word was minister, minister, minister. And then she went on and gave a little bit of an awesome message. And that's what I saw this morning. I saw that message coming to life in you and me. I saw the word that was given so that you can wear it well with me. Go to the book of Ephesians. Was I excited? Yeah. My buddy says to me, well, he says, when God wants to do for you, he has to go and do it in a big way. And I said, yeah. What was he trying to do? He was teasing me, yet he was overwhelmed at what God had done. Was I overwhelmed at what God had done? Yeah. Then she said, when you're all done, I want you to come and help me, because I've got more work for you, and another word for you, privately. The word she had, Ephesians chapter 4. Hear me. Verse 22. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Verse 23. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. She said, do you understand what it means to disrobe the old and to get naked before God? You know what? He's been stripping me since 1986. That's quite a few years. Almost. Actually, it's over 20 years. Because it was February 86. You know how come I know? Because my father-in-law went home to be with Jesus in August of 87. What am I telling you that for? Because the Lord had given us a word, a living word, a timely word, when it was time for him to go home. And it was Ephesians 3:20. Why do you think I know it by heart? Because I saw it in action. My God is able to do abundantly more than what you and I could think or pray for. He's able. And he took this man home in a chariot of grace. You know, putting on the old is something we habitually do because we're ashamed of being naked. So we put on the same old clothes again. I don't mean physical garments. I mean spiritual garments. If we are so accustomed to be dressed up with a garment of fear, we put it back on without even hesitating because we feel naked without it. How many know what I'm talking about? A garment of worry. I had a word for someone this morning. Useless word. And we put it back on every morning. Because the thoughts come in, oh, what about this? And we put that on and we say, oh, it's been wonderful. You know, it's nice and warm, it's cozy, it's comfy. I'm going to just sit with you and feel sorry for myself because, oh, I don't know what I can do. And depression comes over, and you decide to put him on. And you wear him well. And it's like a warm fuzzy you haven't had for a while. And it'll make you feel comfy all over. Because the enemy knows how to work with your feelings and your emotions. And then you'll feel so bad that you might even consider calling a friend for prayer. And maybe they're in the same boat, so they're going to say, oh, you poor thing, I feel so bad for you. Let's both have a pity party. You know, I was sick too, and I killed two of my friends, and I'm feeling a little bit better. But would you just hop into the same bed with me and we'll cover with the same blanket? Putting off the old is the message. Putting on the new. What is the new? It's his word. It's to praise him when I don't feel like it. It's to say thank you because this kid of mine is ready to drive me nuts. That's what it is. That's putting on the new. It's not going to match your emotions. It's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to be starting to be hairy. Well,
I felt like a sarcasm. Well, you're all right, Lord, thank you. You know what I mean? Because, like,
That's what you know.
I think it's gotten better.
Yes.
Now I've done it. Now I announce, like, hey, you know, I'm a savior. I know that you've got it.
Yes.
All others.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a new garment, isn't it?
Yes.
And you can wear it by choice. You're going to feel naked when you take the old stuff off, right, girl? And it's almost like calling to you. Well, you haven't worried me for 3 hours. Maybe you should worry about this other corner. And the enemy sits on your shoulder over here and he whispers in your ear. And you turn and you say, yeah, I think you're right. And then the phone rings and confirms just what you thought. Now the bottom straw falls out of all of your circumstances. Because this irritation has just increased and you decide to wear that one well. So instead of taking it off quickly, someone else is there in agreement with you and you go to the next level. And pretty soon you're having a bad day. This is a bad day. Oh! What was God doing? He was trying to let us know that you could change your garments. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yes? Put on the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of
heaviness.
What does heaviness do to you?
You live little by little.
And it's a killer, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Too bad Bob Trump's not here. Because, you know, there were times that he got phone calls from some of mine, and he was in charge of giving us directions. And there were times that I would say to him, I love you, Doc, but I'm not agreeing with you. And I'm sure he must have thought, yeah, what a rebellious patient. I was. Now that, you know, he knows where I'm coming from, we locked together. But at that time, I was very much of a strange bird. Okay? Because I would not agree with him quickly. I would look back and I'd say, you know what? I give you a for instance. I'm having problems with my digestion. Everything is upside down. I've had prayer week after week after week. I've done this, I've done that. And I said to Pastor Gino, I am so bad that nothing goes through. I haven't eaten for weeks normally. He said, well, can't go to the doctor. And that was like, you know, when you're a good Christian and you're going to believe yourself to be a hero, I mean, you're going to use the word. So I had already done all that, and I went to bed that night, and woke up in the morning, and I knew, darn it, Pastor's right, I got to go to the doctor. I don't want to go to the doctor. I want to heal. I want it my way, God. Those are called selfish gardens. I'm going to do it religiously right. Full of nice pride. Want that garment? I wore it too. So now I finally humble myself because by 2 o'clock I gave up. Lord, you're right. I call the doctor, make an appointment. So I called the doctor, made the appointment, went to see him, blah, blah, blah. And he says, I'm going to give you Prilosec. Now the little purple pill. Oh, you're going to be in heaven from now on. You're getting whatever you want, no problem. He says, but by the way, this is perpetual. Meaning that you're going to have to take this pill every day the rest of your life. I looked at him and I said, I love you too, but no way. I will take the pill, I'll take the prescription, I'll obey, because I knew it was God. But in case you forgot, Doc, I'm going to accept that you're giving me a helping hand, but it's on the way to freedom, not on the way to captivity. Okay? Went to the prescription place, got it filled, blah, blah, blah. Make a long story short, Approximately 5 or 6 months goes by. The Lord says to me, you don't need to take any more today. Okay. So obviously I didn't, and there was maybe 4 or 5 pills, and the enemy said, throw them down the drain. And I said, you're not going to have that satisfaction. I am not doing that. I left 75 for enough. Went back for a checkup several weeks later, and Bob says to me, do you need a new prescription? I said, no. He says, well, your old one must be running out. I says, it is out. He says, well, how's your body? I says, the Lord healed me. He said, And so I left. I'm not truly sure that there was a little demon saying, the rebellious little bird. You know. But you know what? Today he knows. Today he gives the glory to Jesus just like me. Because I never had to go back. And I've never used him again. And that's many years. But to come back to wearing these old garments, the uncomfortable ones. Your old garments are going to draw you to go backwards, and you will find them comfy and at home. But the new garments, the garments of victory, the garments of praise will bring you to victory. The garment of praise will bring you to a deeper level of understanding God's ways. The garment of praise will release the Lord to do a work in you and in those around you, in spite of you. When I say in spite of you, I'm talking about that all your old working will be what? Hopefully beneath your feet. Why does God like it to have it done his way? Why?
Because he knows what's best for us.
It's not in my old book. But in my old book, I know me. Right? I know me, don't I? I know what makes me feel good. When I don't feel good, I can do A, B, and C, and then I'll start feeling better quickly. And it's guaranteed to work every time. The only thing is, you might have a hangover. Somebody say that. You fixed it that way before. I did too. It didn't work. But it worked for a little while. What kind of a hangover? Any kind. Many kinds. Because there's a price to pay when you listen to the old garments. And you put them on quickly. And the enemy will tell you, you will have instant relief. The bottle's in the medicine cabinet. It's been several weeks, I've had no problem with my stomach. Guess who's visiting? Sour stomach's visiting. I have a choice. I even went all the way to the bathroom and I looked at the bottle. Okay? And the enemy says, well, you can take just one. Was that an old garment I would have put back on? What's the problem temporary and testing me? Yes. Will there be physical symptoms even after you're healed that will try to come back and make you susceptible to go back to the old garment?
If it was a test testing you, but had you given into it, you may still have that problem.
Correct. Because you can lose your healing by putting on the old garment again. I did it. I've done that. I lost the healing that he gave me in my eyes. That's right. I could read the fine print without my glasses, even 24 hours after the healing. And I didn't have enough knowledge to hold on to it. Will God give me grace to heal me again? The only thing is, it might be a while, and it might be a test. Why? Because God gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4, verse 7. Humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. Resist the enemy. And he has to flee. Resisting means you have to say, no way, I'm wearing my new garment. This gift is mine, it has been paid for at the cross, and I am wearing it, and whether you like it or not, they're not going backwards. Verse 17 of chapter 4, Ephesians. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. Thinking. I stress it. The Amplified will take you a little deeper if you have one. Verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. When I harden my heart, when I choose to do it my way, when I am so proud that I am going to do it no other way, I have hardened my heart. I'm sick of being trampled on. I'm sick of being broken. I'm sick of being hurt. So therefore, get out of my life. Did you ever hear those words coming out of your mouth? Come on. Are you the only one? Am I the only one? Get out of my life. I can't stand you because you remind me of the new garden and I don't want it. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality. Sensuality. Oh, such a wonderful, wonderful old garment. And as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him, in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. To be made new in the attitude of my mind. Not just your neighbor. And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body, whether they're in rebellion, anger, or resentment. Love them anyway, even if it's from a distance. Because they may enjoy their old garments just like you did. And might still do tomorrow. Those fuzzy wuzzies may call you again and you might put one on. For if not with the grace of my Father, I could fall too. Amen? So what do? I depend on you and you and you to pray for me. Verse 26 is very important. In your anger, do not sin. Doesn't say don't get angry. It says in your anger. You're going to get angry periodically. You're going to have an attitude. Just don't live there. Don't wear it. Does it say in your anger in your Bible? Doesn't say in your neighbor's anger. It means you and me are going to have some responses. And some what? Emotional baggage. And anger happens to be very friendly and very comfortable. Because boy, when that driver cut me off, I wanted to just hang. They should know better. Of course, I never made a mistake.
like to get a bulldozer, huh?
Now, it says, do not let your son, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So that means you can get over it. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, if you're still angry, get over it. Verse 27. Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not give the devil a foothold. So it's me that chooses to give him a foothold, not somebody else. Why? Because the old garments and the fuzzy wuzzies are calling me. Those weak areas that we all have, created by God so that we can humble ourselves to run to him to get some what? New garments.